live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
First game of the NCAA tournament, first four. Wagner up on Howard now, 16 minutes left, 48-31. So the Bison are down 17. Miles Simmons is with us. Talk NFL, talk brackets a little bit. I think you're a bracket guy, Miles. How are you?
I am a little bit of a bracket guy. Doing well, Steve. Thank you, as always, for having me on. I enjoy the tournament. You know, I'll do a bracket. I'll get into a little pool. I'm not somebody who's going to obsess over it. Like, you know, I don't usually win anything because, frankly, I start watching college basketball like about 2 weeks ago. and then I intently watch all the conference tournaments. Like, it's very fun. And then I get to the real NCAA tournament. And then, yeah, you know, once we get to the end of that, I will turn my attention to the NBA. And that's pretty much when I start following basketball at that point in the year. So, you know, that's how I do it.
I noticed you were watching over the weekend because I saw a couple of tweets. Did you get in on do all Ivy guys get in on the Ivy drama when it happens like that with the Allen Brown?
You know, sort of. It's funny. I mean, I don't remember what I was doing when that championship game happened. But, like, so my mom went to Yale Medical School. And so she actually ended up texting me, like, hey, look at this, you know. Like, look what my alma mater has done. What are you, you know, what are you guys doing at Columbia?
Where's Columbia?
She probably smack-talked me a little bit more than anybody else.
Well, they were hosting the game, right? So you were involved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then she also proceeded to, like, trash our gymnasium, Levian. It's terrible. I understand.
The floor
that.
Was goofy.
I mean, look, the whole thing, like, if my mom, because she looks like a high school gym.
It does.
Like, yeah, well, you know, you paid for that. So, you know, for me to use it. So, you know, congrats. Like,
did you attend games when you were in college?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I covered them.
Okay.
So, fair. But yeah, also I was at a Columbia Yale game actually when Whitney Houston died. I will never forget like reading that on Twitter. It's a very, you know, core memory.
Why did you scoff?
Thanks for bringing the show down, man.
Well, I was just thinking I was getting ready for UNLV and San Diego State. We were actually doing the pregame show and we start seeing tweets from TMZ Sports about Kobe passing away. I'm like, this is
true.
Horrific.
Yeah.
Don't want to run on the air with that one.
Yeah.
I remember I'm like, I'm waiting.
Well, yeah. Well, that was actually when I had just moved to Vegas. So I was at an Albertsons, like grabbing some orange juice. And then I looked at my phone because Adam Schefter had tweeted about it. And I had Schefter's, you know, tweets on notifications. And he had tweeted something about a helicopter crash in Calabasas. And I thought, my God, like I used to drive past that every single day, you know, when I was going to work for the Rams. And then lo and behold, like you open the tweet and then you see the first response is Kobe was in the helicopter, and you're like, holy crap.
Let's talk about a Schefter.
Transition out of that one.
I was already, and then
sorry.
I switched.
Sorry,
no,
Steve.
I switched. I'm the one who brought up Kobe. Listen, all the NFL insiders today tweeted about the Browns signing of Jerry Jeudy. I don't exactly get why they had to pay this much for a guy who appears to need a rehabilitation, but I guess they're all in on him because they gave him $41 million guaranteed after bringing him over from the Broncos.
Yeah, you know, the really interesting thing to me about that, Steve, is that, like, why do you need to do that before he even gets into the building, like, officially, you know? Because Brandon Cooks comes to mind in something like this, because when the Rams traded for him in 2018, they signed him to a significant extension, but that was in June, right? That's pretty much OTAs, I believe, had come and gone, you know, and so you understand what this guy is like every single day. The Browns don't have any idea what Jerry Jeudy is like every single day, you know, how he works when he comes into the building, the chemistry he can potentially build with Deshaun Watson, and who knows what kind of chemistry that's going to be during OTAs and stuff, because, well, Deshaun Watson is just barely going to start throwing this week, according to Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, who covers the Browns and has for decades. So, like, I don't know why you need to do this today. If Jerry Jeudy would have wanted to hold out or whatever, not attend certain portions of the offseason program, I mean, I guess that could have set him back a little bit and maybe could have set you as a team back a little bit, but this one's a little bit weird to me. Just, I mean, and from Jerry Judy's perspective, too, it's kind of like, well, you don't really know the Browns. So Why are you so sure that you want to be there for years to come? I'm a little baffled by it, but we'll see if it works.
Even more importantly, and the story, of course, tweeted out by Ian Rappaport, but the end of the tweet, the deal was negotiated by at Equity Sports CEO Chris Cabot. When did this start? It's every single one now. When did we start doing this?
What is that?
We're tagging the agent in every single tweet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know. A couple of years ago, I feel like it started with like Rosenhaus, you know, and then more and more agents, I guess, saw that and were like, well, if it's good enough for Rosenhaus, then why can't I do that or why can't I have that? So it's one of those things that it is a little bit weird. But, yeah. You know, I mean, if you're an agent and you want your name out there so that you can potentially get more clients, like, I get it from that perspective.
Well, I'll tell you why I don't get it. Of course I get it from the agent's perspective, why they want it out there. Why I don't get it is you are clearly – I mean, it's no surprise where it's coming from. That's your source. But now you're also giving away future when a story comes out that you write. Obviously, you know the relationship that they have with this person and that this is a trade-off from the story that you put out and tag them in it. Like that's always been done behind the scenes, but now you're just kind of making that public and letting everybody know.
Yeah, but you know, Adam, I think the savvy folks already knew that anyway.
Sure.
So that's why I guess it's kind of like, all right, well, this is what the insider business is. If we make this inside baseball more outside baseball, you know, where we can see, okay, this is what the horse trading is, right? You know, these guys are getting these stories because they are going to get something in return, you know, like you said, that's the way it's always been, but now it's more and more public. And yeah, I also find it weird, and it kind of makes me glad that I'm sort of not in that insider business.
Did you guys see the thing that was going around early in the off season where it's a certain agent with
ends? Yeah, we've seen it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or no, it's just one of those things of, yeah, that's
the
really
tight end guru.
The tight end guru.
Yeah, yeah. I'd never heard that before, but you know, I guess that's what he is.
Yeah, it comes out. We talked about the Jeudy deal. There's also the Keenan Allen move to the Bears, and the story that comes out that they asked him to take a cut, which this happens all the time, and most players just say, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's renegotiate, give you some cap space." And Keenan Allen said, "Nope. Not doing it," which I applaud and I support. But this is kind of an interesting development that he would come out and just say it.
Well, I don't know why not, you know? I mean, this is, I think, less, I don't know, whatever, inside baseball, if we want to call it that, than the whole agent stuff that's in the tweets, right? I mean, why not just say that? And, you know, these players, they sacrifice a lot for playing football for our entertainment and, you know, for our business purposes, as we are people who talk about this stuff. So if he's going to get asked to take a pay cut, he's going to say no. Like, why are you going to be embarrassed by that? You know, he had one of his greater seasons last year playing on a team that, you know, was not very good. You know, he was really one of the best parts, if not the best part of it. And I include Justin Herbert in that because, look, I mean, whether you want to blame the finger injury or not, Justin Herbert did not play like an elite quarterback last year after he got paid like an elite quarterback last year. So, you know, Keenan Allen gave years and years and years of service to the San Diego, then Los Angeles Chargers. All right, so if you're going to ask him to take a pay cut just because you've got a new regime and he's like, no, then I don't think that there's anything to be embarrassed about by that, you know? And the fact that he goes to Chicago and he's going to help ostensibly Caleb Williams try to become, you know, one of these really good young quarterbacks in this league, I think it's a good opportunity for him. I do.
That's Miles Simmons. It's wide receiver day, clearly, here on Cofield & Company with Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk. Mike Williams goes to the Jets. Steve, very fired up for his Jets to get Mike Williams. Should he be?
Well, I mean, if Mike Williams can stay healthy, I guess so. I mean, I don't anything about the Jets right now. I'm just you weren't here last week, Adam, when I passed on an Aaron Rodgers question. But like, it's like
Steve actually called me and told me about it because it is.
Did he really?
As you might not know,
I don't. Okay, there's you might not know, misrepresentation
Miles,
of fact.
It's also my Jets. So yeah.
I didn't call him. We were together. And I mentioned it a couple days later. It wasn't like pressing that night that I was so thrown off that you didn't want to talk about RFK and the lunacy with Rodgers. And by the way, the Steve is really excited about Mike Williams.
That was sarcastic.
Miles said exactly what I said, which is if he stays healthy, he's a great second option.
Yeah,
he
is. As you guys know, it's my Jets because Tyrod is the starting quarterback.
Oh, yes. Yeah
he's on board with us now.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I mean, look, it might be Tyrod Taylor that ends up playing the majority of the snaps, because who knows how interested Aaron Rodgers is in like actually playing the season. But, you know, if that does happen to be the case, then I feel bad for Taylor, because he's going to have Nathaniel Hackett calling his plays. And as long as Nathaniel Hackett is calling the plays, like, I don't know what to think of the Jets. Nathaniel Hackett's not a competent play caller. We know that. You know, so I don't know what to think about the Jets. You know, great that they've signed these offensive linemen. Great that they've added a guy like Mike Williams, who I think can be a really good player if he's healthy. He's still got to recover from the knee that he suffered early on in the season. So there is a chance that he'll be ready for the start of 2024. But yeah, I don't know what to think of the Jets, because they could be good, sure, but they could also be an absolute cluster bleep. So I don't know which one I'd like to see more, frankly.
I would definitely like to see the cluster bleep more with the Jets.
Come on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's been a 40-plus year cluster bleep. Can we have 1 year? And I am saying we. Please? It's one?
All right, well, the biggest news for me in NFL news over the weekend is that Aaron Donald is retiring. Do you think that the Rams knew that this was happening this offseason, or was this a shock? I didn't read any other reporting on it.
Not a shock. I know that it was not a shock. I started catching wind that this could happen in December. And, you know, the fact that Aaron was starting to bring this up to certain folks in the building. And so then, I mean, there was reporting by Albert Breer over the weekend that Aaron Donald said after the playoff game that they lost in Detroit, you know, I'm full, meaning, you know, he's feels like he has accomplished all that he could in the National Football League, and there's nothing more for him to prove. So, yeah, a couple weeks ago, I mean, I still have people that I know in the Rams building. I started to hear, like, hey, this is really going to be a real thing. So, yeah, they were not caught off guard by this. They were not surprised by this. I know that there was some of the contract stuff that happened, you know, in the restructuring and all that. Like, that was not a signal of, okay, we're doing this because we believe Donald is going to be here and da-da-da-da-da. Like, they went as far as sending a camera crew to Pittsburgh to interview Aaron Donald and his wife. So, yeah, the Rams were fully aware that this was going to happen, and they're planning a decent send-off for him.
Who in the cast of the new show Receiver are you going to be the most interested to see?
A combination of Justin Jefferson and Devontae Adams, and it's because of the things that they went through during the season. You know, I mean, the fact that Justin Jefferson came back from the hamstring, still was able to get 1,000 yards playing with, you know, not very good quarterback play, like that to me is really fascinating. And, you know, maybe they will be able to go into some of the stuff this offseason now that his quarterback is gone, right? That's a huge deal with him, and he is seeking a new contract. He should have a new contract before he ever steps foot at practice again for the Minnesota Vikings, so that's interesting. And then with Devontae Adams, I mean, I want to know the difference within the building and, like, get that inside scoop of the way things changed from Josh McDaniels to Antonio Pierce. I mean, we all know that they were smoking cigars and they, like, had a hoop in the locker room, but, you know, to hear his insight from that period of time into how things changed, like, I think that's going to be really fascinating, even though neither of those two teams made the playoffs. I mean, like, look, Debo Samuel and George Kittle, like, I'm sorry, I feel like we know a lot about those guys, and yeah, watching them lose the Super Bowl is going to be interesting. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, the fact that Detroit did so well, hosted a couple playoff games, won both of them, like, that's going to be pretty cool to see too. But I just feel like Jefferson and Devontae Adams have things that are a little bit more intriguing from my standpoint.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. I will say, Devontae, I agree with most of what you said, except we know how polished Devontae is. Like, he's not going to be
open.
So we'll see how that really plays out and how much we actually get out of that. But I am intrigued to find out how it plays out on the show. But also, I'm a little bit annoyed at myself because we saw the crew around a couple times, and I was like, oh, Garoppolo must be doing quarterback. Garoppolo must be on quarterback, and they're filming in here. And so didn't know that they had switched up and were doing receiver. So definitely interested to find out. Oh, and I'm sure I'm very interested to see if Devontae has things to say about the local media, especially certain people in it, because it would be great if he speaks about them at some point. Oh, I hate doing this. These people with their questions. That'll be good.
Uh-huh.
I hope he does
that.
Yeah.
Are you talking about you or are you talking about somebody
definitely
else?
Not me. Obviously other people.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
He gonna play.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Did you just do an impression of somebody?
I did. Miles, I don't think Miles is familiar with that impression.
Okay, do it again.
He gonna play. And he gonna play a lot. That was said by a member of the Raiders media about Tyree Wilson when he was drafted.
It's a good impression.
All right.
You guys with the inside would jokes, you're so annoying.
It's a good impression. You really are. Would you ever go see...
So annoying.
Speaking of impressions, would you ever go see Rich Little do a show in Vegas?
Do you know who he is?
Who is Rich Little?
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
I knew it.
Exactly.
I knew it.
No, that's the point.
Who's your artist that you said Dusty May shouldn't be pandering about?
Rod Wave.
Okay, Rod Wave. Do you know Rich Little or Rod Wave?
I feel like I've heard the name Rod Wave, but like I don't know why.
So Rich Little is an 85-year-old impressionist who is a Vegas legend. He's been playing here since the 60s. His impressions are mostly from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. He's kind of playing out the Tropicana down the stretch. I don't know if you know, the Tropicana is closing on April 2nd.
Yes.
Rod Wave. I did know that. Let them fill you in on Rod Wave.
I think you would very much like him.
Really?
Young, he kind of blends R&B and hip-hop, but it's more like introspective and sad hip-hop. Like more, almost like, not the same style of artist, but kind of the same subject matter maybe as J. Cole a little bit, of just like self-deprecating and you know, expressing, you know, things that are going wrong more than like over the top hype. That would be fair, right?
Most popular song I would say is "Heart on Ice." Put my heart on ice, heart on ice.
I thought you were gonna play it. You're just gonna sing it?
No, we can't do that.
Commodore 64 is not equipped to play music on demand.
What are you doing?
And then it gets taken down. Then
we'll have another board op snitch on us.
And, yeah, then the episode gets taken down, and then I'm getting an email about using licensed music. I don't know if people know.
It sounds like you were way off, so there shouldn't be any worry about any copyright violation.
No, I think it was good.
Was it close?
No, it wasn't.
I was like, I don't listen to that.
His other impression is better than that one.
His Hondo impression, by the way, for the inside joke. Miles Simmons is with us. Okay. Let's talk a little TV here, but let's move on from receiver because I think we'll all watch it. We'll all give it a look. And by the way, my vote would be for Amon-Ra St. Brown because I think his dad will be featured, his family, which is kind of crazy.
Working out all the time.
All the time. I got like 20 minutes into Dynasty. I should be watching it. Have you been watching Dynasty on the Krafts and Belichick and Brady?
You know, I haven't yet. I plan to start at some point this week. I couldn't do it yet. I like to binge those things once they're all out. So, you know, I'll give it a watch. What's interesting, though, to me is, you know, Rodney Harrison and Devin McCourty, who also both of those guys work for NBC. So they did a little video today, which I believe you can see on the NFL on NBC YouTube page, where they were talking about how they didn't necessarily love the portrayal of Bill Belichick. And so that's one of the intriguing things to me. I mean, that's been the MO of this thing online, is that Bill Belichick does not necessarily come off very well in this documentary. And part of that is certainly because of who made the documentary, right? That's Robert Kraft. He wanted this thing done, and he wanted it done in that specific way. So it's interesting. I mean, Rodney Harrison was talking about how he sat down for 5 hours and for an interview, and they barely used anything that he said, that, you know, and maybe because it was so positive about Bill Belichick. So I think that that's a little bit fascinating. I'm looking forward to delving a little bit more into it. I don't necessarily know when I'm going to do that, though, since, you know, my life is about to be overtaken by college basketball soon. But I guess since we're on the West Coast, you know, you can watch things after the tournament's over for the day.
Is it bad? I actually watched, we were talking about this earlier, all I do is watch YouTube. I actually watched a YouTube review of the documentary. And I haven't watched the documentary. But is it bad that I only plan on watching one episode, because apparently the Aaron Hernandez episode is pretty revealing. Like, I might just watch that. That's okay, right? I don't have to watch all of it.
I don't think you have to watch all of it. I mean, you're not that interested in the Patriots and that dynasty. Why not? But the Aaron Hernandez stuff, I think, probably is definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, they said that apparently Belichick, and again, it's how Belichick's portrayed, but that he just made his own rules for Aaron Hernandez and didn't make him follow everything else. And I just heard Matt Light was very reluctant to talk about it. He did this podcast I was watching, very reluctant to talk about it. But he said there was signs all over the place, including, you know, when you know, he was the player rep, Matt Light was, and he said, you know, Hernandez would be in the locker room or whatever, and if they had to pass out, you know, they have to pass out things every once in a while. We see this in the Raiders locker room when we're in there of, hey, you got to vote on player of the year. You got to vote on this. Or, hey, here's an announcement about the players union that you need to know about. And Matt Light said every rookie would take their turn doing it. And basically when Aaron Hernandez turned, he just, like, took the papers, threw it back at him and, like, screw you. And it triggered a fight in the locker room, essentially. But he said that's who he was. He was just – he didn't care and he didn't respect anything. And Belichick just allowed that to happen. So I'm interested to see if they try to maybe pin that on Belichick of just letting Aaron Hernandez get to that point. Like, we all know it's Urban Meyer's fault, not Bill Belichick's fault.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, who let him do that before? I think that was Urban Meyer. So, you know, once somebody is a little bit fully formed, then things are just kind of the way they are the way that they are.
Miles Simmons is with us. Miles, we appreciate all the time. I wanted you to get into one last topic. And, well, it's this whole quarterback-driven media thing. I don't want to say it's phony narrative. I do not believe the highest functioning, highest level mock draft guys like Kiper. I'll just say Kiper.
Okay.
He now has 5 quarterbacks going in the top 12. I don't want to smear him, but I do feel like there are times that stuff is written and predicted for the TV pump.
Yes.
Like it's really good to have quarterbacks of, you know, hey, all these quarterbacks. And I feel like we sit down for the draft and they're like, oh, who'd believe it that 3 of the guys didn't go in the first round? I do.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's because, I mean, look, that, you know, basically that's Kiper's job now, especially mm-hmm. because he has the cachet of having done this for so long. You know, people want to know what he has to say and they believe him when. I mean, my philosophy on mock drafts had to shift a few years ago because I used to have to write mock draft roundups and I hated them with a burning passion of 1,000 fiery suns. But like, if you think of them more as just, hey, here's a scenario rather than this is what I think is going to happen, then that at least allows me as a consumer to be like, okay, well, like, yeah, this is something that could maybe happen, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's gospel. I think the problem is, you know, and this is just the way people like to consume draft content, they hang on people's every word with this stuff. I mean, it's just a mock draft. It has nothing really to do with what is or is not going to happen. It's just a scenario. But yeah, people love to flock to that kind of thing where it's like, oh, man, our guy could really get this guy. Our team could get that guy. I don't want that guy. Oh, no, but I really do want that guy. And look, he could fall. And so if that's the case, like, and that's just the way it all goes. Yep. So, I don't pay much attention to mock drafts. Like, there are a couple of people that I do pay attention to, and, you know, I look at them, and because they're just presenting scenarios. They're not just saying, oh, I think this now is going to happen because this guy's rising and this guy's falling. Like, that's BS. Like, people don't really rise and fall at this point in the year. It's just not the way this stuff works, you know? So, that's the way I see it.
I buy it hook, line, and sinker, but as a contrarian, and I also think there's betting value on it, and I saw Florio wrote today that the Vikings are listed as a favorite to land J.J. McCarthy, minus 115, which is outrageous. If you bet that, you're a moron. You can come back to me in whatever 6 weeks and tell me I'm a moron when they do draft him. But I mean, there's talk of teams wanting to move up to 4 or 5 to get J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I guess
there's a reason.
I guess there's two parts of it.
There's a reason, like, the Vikings got a second first-round pick. They're trying to move up to get something. Right. I mean, that's not just a hypothetical point.
Is it believable that it's him to move up to freaking 4 or 5?
I'm just saying that's why right. that is there. It's not just somebody randomly speculating. They like him.
We talked about
they made
week,
a move to get a second first-round pick.
I guess my bigger theme here is, am I to believe that J.J. McCarthy is that coveted that people are going to trade a lot to get into the top 10 to get him?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't necessarily make sense to me. I mean, that's a lot of projection as opposed to, okay, he's done X, Y, Z that we think translates directly to our offense, you know, because, I mean, well, he wasn't necessarily asked to do all that much with Michigan, you know, the kinds of things. I mean, he has lined up under center. That's helpful. Lined up in shotgun and all those kinds of things. And he has, you know, played for a guy now who is coaching in the NFL. So I think all of those things are a plus, but I don't know. The games I've watched of Michigan, I'm not coming away thinking, oh my gosh, I hope my team gets J.J. McCarthy as their quarterback in the National Football League. But nobody thought that about Brock Purdy, and look what he's done. So it's all about, you know, who you are and where you go and the people that surround you. That's what I think.
All J.J. does is lift trophies. That's it.
God. Okay. All right, Miles. On that note, sorry, Adam was very annoying today. So
that's I think we're going to finish the show. I know he loves Michigan and Yale, and now he loves the Jets and all of that.
Yep. He's got his Michigan versus all y'all t-shirt on. Oh, I didn't even notice. I looked across at him bashing J.J. McCarthy. I'm like, I'm screwed on this one.
Actually ran into a former UNLV football coach this morning that was like, Michigan?
Like, yes, Michigan. Yes, sir. Thank you, Miles.
All right, take care, guys.
Watch Miles' stuff on Peacock and Pro Football Talk, and you can find him up on Twitter at Miles A. Simmons. There's a lot of NFL to get into. I just saw a picture put out by, the 33rd team, and they put Los Angeles Chargers offensive weapons, and they got that face that's kind of like in a panic, almost crying. Like, oh, my God. Right? Is that what that is? Yeah, the weapons, Justin Herbert, Gus Edwards, Joshua Palmer, Quentin Johnston, Darius Davis, and Will Disley. It's a little different than it was.
It's different.
Looks it's different. A little different. Your guy. So the Jets are your team because of Tyrod Taylor, but you can't be a Chargers guy because, what, they're in the division? You really don't have a team, but.
Yeah.
Deep down, you're not rooting for Harbaugh's success?
No. I don't really care. I'm rooting for him to say a lot of things. That's interesting.
On the way back, let's address the Kuiper thing. And again, I'm not smearing the guy because part of me is like, hey, this is actually his job now. He works for a television set of networks or a network with a set of stations, and they're gigantic on the NFL. So I guess why not drive the ratings?
We had a Raising Cane's truck when we were there. I don't know. I can't get free shout outs, but Raising Cane's, still is not in Buffalo yet.
Franchise that. Get on top of it, Dalton Kincaid. You'll make a fortune up there in Buffalo.
You're listening to Cofield and Company.
That was Kay Adams, who I was thrown off when the Vast Sound crew showed me that video, because we have a whole crew here who pulls all our sound. Cussing.
Yeah.
Get on that S. I kind of liked it.
It's YouTube, right?
Is it?
I thought so.
She works for one of the gambling channels, right?
Yeah.
Her gambling outfits?
Yeah.
Okay. Dalton Kincaid, hometown hero, was talking about, I think, you couldn't really understand the beginning of the setup, but it was a quick clip, but I think he was talking about being at Utah, and they had a Raising Cane's truck there.
Yeah.
So they don't have Raising Cane's in Buffalo yet.
Not much. I think they fixed this issue, but when I was going there a lot growing up, there wasn't a Taco Bell. And it was like a huge problem for all my cousins. They were depressed all the time about it.
But they didn't grow up with it, so why would they care? You're talking about your West Coast cousins who would come in?
No. I'm talking about all my cousins that live there.
Oh, they just knew about it?
Yeah, that when they would travel, they would find it, and they would be like, what is this? Like, everyone else in the country has it all over the place. Now, I also think
– I love that Buffalo was there that was far. Actually, you know what's funny? And you guys – I mean, I'm not even really old enough to remember when it first started to hit, which I was probably like 8. But it was a big deal. Like, yeah. If you go back and watch – I'm going to be a nerd. That is one of the things I like about YouTube is you can find old commercials.
Sure.
And, it was a big deal then.
No question. And
I honestly, in New Jersey, I did not grow up around Mexican food. Now, there was other Latino food, but there was no – and Taco Bell's not necessarily Mexican food. But you get my point. Like, that fare was not really offered.
Well, I think to correct that, I believe there was some in, North Buffalo in the northern suburbs, but where they are out by the stadium – there was nothing within 45 minutes. So they would go either into the city or they would, if they were, with somebody, traveling somewhere, they would just freak out. Because they had Taco John's. It's not the same.
This might be my favorite thing we've ever talked about on the show. I also love old commercials.
Really?
Just to see.
Just random?
Yeah,
it's so funny.
I follow the account Discontinued Foods on X.
Okay.
Because I just love to see what was popping. In 95, that was all the craze.
There were some jams on commercials back then.
Mac Tonight, I love that commercial.
When the moon playing the piano? It's good.
Go way back and watch the Frito Bandito. I think you'll like that one. With the voice of Mel Blanc.
I am the Frito Bandito?
Yeah.
It's good.
Might not be acceptable now.
They're actually not. Should be. There's a big content creation sports company out there that one of the things they do is just show an hour-long old videos and just comment over them. Pretty good content. Solid.
Oh, you know why I remember this recently is I got caught. Caught's not the right word. I don't know why. You were talking about YouTube and the weird things you can find up there. You watch a 13, we think he's 15 years old, a 15-year-old kid give every team breakdown of the NCAA tournament.
It's basically
tournament
a minute.
Over the course of 61 minutes.
It's a minute on every team. So it's 64 minutes, so okay. I think it's every team.
I just looked. I wanted. I don't know why I was thinking of. You know why I was? Because when I was in Reno, I'm like, my God, this place still has a lot of motels.
Sure.
Like the old school motel everywhere. And I was like, I want to watch something about old motels. And then there was some weird documentary on motels that got really creepy from like 1989.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
I was watching some old commercials on that. And then for some reason, and Cowboy Cotton would associate with this, I was watching like the American Country Music Awards from 1983. So there you go. Wow. That's my life.
Jerry
Reed was dynamite.
I think I've actually maybe even talked about this. There's a guy, incredibly like boring voice, but just has a lot of good information. And he just talks about businesses. So like, he'll take a business. I just watched the one on Denny's the other day. It's why did company A succeed or fail? Or okay. Some of them are, why did they succeed, then fail, then succeed again? Or so there was one I also watched on Quiznos.
That's a good one.
Which
gonna,
he basically broke. He broke down this whole thing about.
Was it the commercial with the mumbling?
No.
Thing?
He said it was far more simple. Yeah. He got into it. He's like, they expanded. They did this. And he's like, they were doing everything right. But
the toasted bread.
He goes, all they had was toasted bread.
Yep.
And then Subway's like, yo, we put toasters in. And they were like, ah! Got nothing.
That was it. That was it.
He's like, that was it. He was like, oh, then they were screwed. They had no answer. And he's like, and then all of a sudden they just collapsed. This guy is fantastic.
Speaking of that, we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow.
There's a why did Buffalo Wild Wings succeed? It's great.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo Wild Wings, Miracle Mile. All the Buffalo Wild Wings in town. There's 10 plus around Las Vegas. The month special, $5 on the Coors Light, on the tall one, on the 22-ouncer. Of course, they've got their special days on Tuesday and Thursday. They've got great happy hour from 3 to 6 and then 9 to close. Or 9 to close is a bunch of $4 specials, but special for all the tournament games. And there's a game going on right now with Wagner about to close out. What do we got? What's the score?
67-54, Wagner, 3 minutes left.
Yeah, so $5 tall Coors Lights Cornell at every 64. Buffalo Wild Wings. And we'll be at the Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow. 3 o'clock start, the location at Miracle Mile.
Cornell 64, Ohio State 62. 64-62, 8 minutes left. Let's go.
Hey, real quick, have you guys seen that trend of We Done with the 90s on TikTok?
Oh, yeah. When you were out last week.
You guys talked about it?
Oh, we got into it. We got into it with Xavier and because Rob Parker and Chris Broussard were talking about it. And Rob Parker, I like Rob, but he's so stuck. He's the guy. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
That he just, the 90s today. You know, it's like, do you understand? Because what they tried to blame it on is there are young people who are doing we're done with the 90s, but this has all been pushed by the annoyance of people my age pushing the 90s on younger people. And I'm not young, and even I'm like, I think I said it the other day, I'm like, a lot of the changes in the NBA, like the hand check rule, are because the 90s actually sucked in so many ways. It was freaking brawl ball.
I was in on this months ago.
I love this trend.
With this guy, because he started with the 80s, but that wasn't catchy enough.
Nope.
But people really loved the 90s, We Done with the 90s.
Yep.
Because I thought that the clips from We Done with the 80s was funnier. Because there was some bad basketball. A lot of bad basketball.
Terrible. There were a lot of slugs on the floor. There were slow, unathletic people on the floor, undersized. Didn't play defense.
None.
And then we just get lied to, and it's like, I was around. I watched Ole defense in the 80s, and everyone latches on to, like, you know, someone throwing a clothesline in the playoffs, and they're like, that's the way it was every game. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But, yeah, done with the 90s. I'm totally down with that trend.
By the way, Howard just hit 2 threes in about 14 seconds. Uh-oh. It's down to 7.
So what was the name of the series you were talking about? Why did it work?
It's called Company Guy.
Okay, and then his feature is?
It's either, like, most of his videos are just, why did this company succeed, or why did this company fail? But some of them are, why did they succeed, then fail, then succeed again? Why did they, you know, basically, why did they go through whatever the companies have gone through? Denny's, by the way, tried to buy Caesar's Palace. I believe they even did buy Caesar's Palace, like, in the 70s, because they were expanding so quickly. And he was like, that didn't work. Then they had to kind of restructure.
You can do this in sports very easily.
Of course.
There's going to be something in 15 years on some organization. Why did they not work? Because they traded a freaking King's ransom for J.J. McCarthy. I'm not going to let this go.
Well, the Vikings they seem to be doing it right. I mean, they have a first-round pick.
Right.
They don't think they're going to be able to get him. So they gave up later assets to get another first-round pick.
Okay.
So it's essentially they're giving up like a first and a second to get there, which not great, but if that is what they're doing, it's not.
Do you honestly believe J.J. McCarthy is should be so coveted that you pay a good price for him over Bo Nix?
Yes, over
Michael Penix.
Yes, over Michael Penix, because I think he's going to get
Who's
hurt.
The fourth quarterback in the draft? The gap between – you think McCarthy's four and the gap down is massive.
I don't think – like, I don't – I think Michael Penix is a better player than J.J. McCarthy. But I think Michael Penix is also hurt and going to be hurt, and he's old.
Okay.
And all those other things. So I do think there's a pretty big gap, and I think Bo Nix is – I'm not going to – hold on. I was going to say, I think Bo Nix is trash. I don't think he's trash, but I don't think he's an – I don't think he's like a long-time NFL starting quarterback.
I mean, I look at every one of these teams, and I'm like, don't freaking do it. And don't pay extra to do it. So Pro Football Talk had – I don't know who they quoted for odds on this, but the Vikings are a minus favorite, minus 115 favorite to get McCarthy. After that – the Giants at plus 350. I mean, are you going to do Danny Dimes all over again? You're not going to learn your lesson on this? The Giants plus 350, the Broncos plus 430, which should make AFC West rivals. Like, they're doing all of this to draft J.J. McCarthy?
But they're,
and then the Patriots are 9-1.
The problem is,
I hope he goes to the Patriots.
I would sort of agree with you, but the issue is that I think there are a lot of teams that believe he is that good. Yeah. So there could be teams saying, we're going to let them get J.J. McCarthy. We can't do this.
My only thoughts were the draft is so dumb. There's so many other good – I know teams need quarterbacks.
Yep.
But the skill position – I'm thinking of the receivers alone. Oof. That you could just snag right there.
I still think the real – if the receiver is your final piece, okay. But – I still think the good teams around the league have their core that they draft, and they draft about the same thing every year, and they don't reach for skill position players.
I mean, yeah, it's easy to miss on a receiver, but there are some really good receivers I think that are available, and there has been. Like, again, I don't, you know, the Vikings let him fall, but Justin Jefferson is a franchise changing type player. And that was a guy that they drafted. Like, there are guys you can draft in the first round that are that good at receiver, and if you have a really, really good receiver, it changes your whole team.
All right, latest update on the tournament. And, again, we've got Colorado State tipping off here in just a little bit. Mountain West Conference team in the first four. Mountain West Conference better get some wins to shut everyone up around the rest of the country that they got six bids. But the opening game, Wagner and Howard down to a five-point game. 118 left, 69-64.
Back to seven.
Okay.
So, yeah, 117 left.
All right, good first game.
Very good.
I didn't realize in the handicap of UConn, I missed something completely vital to the handicap.
Oh, boy.
About why they should be the favorite. It's actually a dual head coach situation with UConn?
Yeah. They have been accused of cheating.
What is – and this is coming from who? Mike Francesa?
From Francesa, who you love.
I love Francesa. I had a chance to draft WFAN's legendary host years ago in a sports radio host draft. I scooped him up in the 20s.
He still got it.
He still got some zingers like this one.
Way to go.
It's good. Good value.
Francesa is not happy because somebody that gets tickets right next to the UConn bench is Dan Hurley's father, Bob Hurley.
We talked to Bob Hurley
last
year.
An icon.
Year.
A legendary coach.
Nice guy.
Who Francesa said is clearly helping with instruction. And shouldn't be allowed to sit there.
He doesn't want his dad to sit close to the bench.
No, which I...
You know, by the way, you know what Francesa is, right? In terms of his allegiance.
A troll?
No. His biggest allegiance.
Who's that?
He went to St. John's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. Not to say that he's not objective, but maybe that's the impetus for this.
Well, I think it's also sexist. I mean, why couldn't his mom be giving him advice?
She didn't win all of those national or state titles or whatever.
Well, how are we going to decide who? We are down to three, by the way.
Howard fighting back into it.
Minute two left.
All right.
Three-point game.
I had him at minus two. I've already given up.
You might get it overtime.
You're very melancholy.
I'm happy because I loved Wagner, and I just kept waiting for them to go down big so I could get an in-game price, and they never went down. They've been ahead the whole game, so I never had to bet it.
So this is a serious rant by former big time New York sports talk radio host, Mike Francesa, saying that Bob Hurley shouldn't be.
You can call it serious. I mean, it's an unserious thought.
Okay.
It's not a realistic thing.
How do we know he's not doing this extra coaching, though? Should this be looked into?
I don't care if he is. By the way, probably something that UNLV fans don't want to jump on board with. Like, is Kevin not allowed to talk to Lon ever?
Well, he talks to him every day, I suppose, and he's at practice. Does he ask him during the game? He's giving him hand signals. I know. It's different.
Yeah.
I don't think he's giving him hand
signals. Rob, cut down. Rob, cut down. Yeah. You know, he's not doing that.
Well, he could zone.
By the way, they could also do it. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
who cares?
Who cares if he is?
Like, what? There's people yelling throughout the crowd.
We're going to patrol who's sitting in the audience? And, like I said,
the audience right behind the bench.
And you also can't talk during the week? Getting advice? How should I run this practice? Oh, extra coaching. It's ridiculous.
102 left. We'll get you a final update before we get out of here. By the way, if you want to hear all the games that we do not have on ESPN Las Vegas, we'll have the NCAA tournament on this weekend. You can always switch over to 1230 The Game, one of our sister stations. Again, 1230 a.m. to hear all the NCAA action as Wagner trying to close out Howard in game one of the tournament, leading by three with 49 seconds left.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, boy. It's a good one. 14 seconds left, first game of the tournament. Going down to the wire.
Wagner up to one shot left, so they could go up three. 14.2 seconds against Howard. I think they're actually reviewing something. I'm not sure what. There's definitely a foul. They might be reviewing to see if it was flagrant. I don't think it was. Maybe a clock situation, but should be up to one free throw left, 14.7, so another game down to the wire. The NIT, Ohio State, just fell behind Cornell.
Don't be sad.
That's a tech.
You can't even mask your joy.
What did they call?
Technical foul on number 13. He made that layup, and he got in the guy's in the inbounder's face.
Ohio State stinks. Up three, made the free throw. So right. Wagner up three, Howard ball, 13 seconds left.
How about we get these Cornell guys under control? That's thuggery right
Settle
there.
Down.
Look at
them. Do we get to an elephant in the room, or is this going to further hurt my reputation around the building?
Three at
the
buzzer,
this on the air.
Short.
Well, it doesn't matter. I needed to.
Do we want to mention this, or was it a bad deal to talk about the car?
Oh, what's going on in the room?
My car's paid off.
Well, what's going on in the room and what's going on around? DeMond apparently has a lot of action tonight on college basketball, but you told us something.
Are you trying to make money real quick for some reason?
Yes. Don't try to contact me.
I'm sorry. This is craziness. I can't believe we're doing this again.
Did you not hear me? The car's paid off. Where were the applause, guys?
You did slip that in there.
Yeah.
You should have budgeted to leave over some money.
At what cost? You spent all your money on the car.
How much did you owe on the car? Did you pay it off through gambling? Did you have a big hit that we didn't know about?
Hold on. I don't think he's saying the car is paid off. I think he's saying he caught up on his payments.
No, the car's paid off.
Oh,
I'll pull up the
app. You just said paid off.
Right. I'm proud of this one.
I know, but the balancing of the budget is a problem.
Yeah, you can't call it up on your phone.
The app. I still have Wi-Fi. Okay. You have an iPhone? I'm still good. Hit me up. Steve, I'm sorry.
I know. This is my fault, actually.
Blakeney does, by the way, have a hoodie and sweatpants on.
See?
I love it.
The head coach for Howard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it.
Okay. Well, I hope we get to talk to him about the Final Four. I hope we get to go. We had a good conversation with him last year.
We did.
Really, every former Dukie you sat down with us were – Adam, I was going to say me, but it really wasn't me. Adam was like, you are from Vegas. We don't like
Duke
you guys.
Sucks. Well, I hate them for Michigan, too.
Climb out of the hole. Go.
Michigan and UNLV both hate them. Okay. I had both angles.
I don't think we gave a clear message of – I mean, I think if people are reading between the lines, they understand what's happening.
Oh, that DeMond hasn't paid his phone bill and he can't call him?
I had some tech buddies. My buddies from Samsung were in town from Texas, and I tried to keep up with them. Bad mistake on my part. That's all I'll say.
You had a big weekend of spending a lot of money. So you got to pick and choose.
Losing a lot of money.
Oh, no. You tried to keep up with them that way, and now you're scrambling to come back in the games? All right. Well, this tournament means a lot to all of us. From a communication standpoint, a show flow standpoint.
What do we need to cover?
Come on, sanity. He was in a good mood when he came in. He was like mumbling at the end of the show.
Well, he needed Howard. Howard didn't win.
Oh, we're going to ride the roller coaster these first couple of days of the tournament. All right, join us for more of these stories. Hopefully someone will have a phone paid off tomorrow. I know I'll be down at Buffalo Wild Wings. Come down, watch the games. Miracle Mile. We'll see you.